CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us, as we always are. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we set this time aside to answer questions about the Bible, from the Bible, look at current events, and also what we hear in church. Is it even in the Bible at all? Many times people teach things that just are just from the planet Mars. I don't know. Just crazy stuff out there. But we just want to encourage you to give us a call, 888-888. Ask CSN's toll free. You've got some lines open. You can be part of the program today. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker here in the Morning Times, Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. Welcome.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all the listeners out there. Looking forward to their great questions that they always bring to us on, I'm usually on Thursdays, occasionally another day of the week, but usually Thursdays. Just thoroughly enjoy the fellowship and the insights and the challenges that come with the questions about wanting to grow in the faith and fall deeper in love with Jesus, to get into the Word of God and to discover all of its golden nuggets. You know, it's so exciting as God has given us His Word by 40 different authors over 1,500 years of human history. And it's filled with prophecy and speaks of the end times and everything that's taking place in our world today. So it sure excites the thoughts of the human mind, as well as inspires the heart. And brings us to the conclusion that Jesus is truly our Lord and Savior. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the grave. He ascended to heaven. He offers all who believe in Him eternal life. So I'm ready to go, Mike. I'm
Amen.
Fired up.
Amen. We're looking for the upper taker. And, you know, one of the things, Daryl, that I think is so amazing is when you look at what the Bible says the world would be like at the end of man's futile efforts to govern himself, we find this exact scenario where we're rushing towards a one-world order, a one-world government, a one-world religion, a godless, by the way, one-world religion, and a one-world currency. All this that we find, and in the words of John Lennon, sharing all the world. No heaven above us, no hell below us, above us only sky. Well, you know, there's nothing farther from the truth. There is a heaven above us. There is a hell below us. And the Bible tells us that this idea of chrislam or coexist is a lie, and it's not going to work well in this world. In fact, the Bible says this age of the dawning of the age of Aquarius, says unless those days were shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. You know, it's really weird that when man fully takes control of the earth, it's all over in 7 years. That's how bad man does it. Now, again, using, of course, the green scheme as part of the one world order. Oh, you know, the ice caps are melting. You know, by the way, again, I use this illustration, but I was looking and in Norway, because the ice is retreating, they found a lot of tools that were used to kill reindeer in Norway. And what was weird is what caused those tools to be left there before the ice caps reformed over the top of them. Were there global warming 1,800 years ago? That's about how far back they go. Maybe the reindeer weren't smog certified. You know, it's hard to say, but you know, Daryl, when we really examine real history, not this bogus global warming junk, but the real, you know, the real history of our atmosphere. It's all recorded in the rings of the sequoias and in the redwoods. And it doesn't line up to what these climate change people are saying. Now, we know everything has been changing ever since the flood. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah, the well-watered garden, it says. But by the time of King David, it was a desert. And we find this desert region is expanding ever since the flood. The northern plains of Africa were the Romans' San Joaquin Valley. It's where they grew all their crops for their armies and all their stuff, the northern plains of Africa, now completely desert. And this was happening about 500 AD, where finally the Roman Empire, actually 300 AD, Roman Empire realized they couldn't grow food there anymore because things are changing. They have been changing ever since. The whole world is in a state of Devo, de-evolution. Yeah, not evolution absolutely. Getting better, but Devo going the other way. We don't right. see the new species forming because evolution is true. Otherwise, why would they tell us, well, if we don't do something about climate change, another 500 species will go extinct this year? Not to worry. You're an evolutionist. There'll be a whole new group next year. But do you find that? No, of course not, because it's not true. And this is the lie that they continue to tell our poor kids in school, our poor college students, and the rest of America, in part through our completely corrupt American news media. I watched this thing on January 6th, their star key witness. Well, I thought I heard someone say as I was walking past, but I really don't know who said it, but I heard him say that, ba 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 ba, and this is your star witness? Never mind what Joe Biden is doing to America. That doesn't seem to catch anybody's attention. Or even worse, Hunter Biden's laptop, which is so full of corruption, everyone, that if that was published, Joe Biden would be impeached. Yeah, that's right. That's why it's mysteriously silent. No, they know what's on that, and they're doing a very good job of keeping that under wraps. Meanwhile, the Russian dossier by Hillary Clinton turned out to be a complete hoax. Trump is now suing her for $24 million. And we have another hoax January 6th as well. Yeah, the hits just keep on coming. Well, you know, Daryl, I got to tell you, the American news media must be, the liberals must be so terrified of Donald Trump to be doing this. They said there has never been a president in the history of the United States that has been more in the headlines since he was out of office than when he was in office. They're trying to find dirt. They're trying to find something. Because you see, I don't know who the good guys are out there. I don't know who the bad guys are. But I know whoever the American news media is for is rotten. And whoever the American news media is against is good for America. It's always been that way. So yeah, watch them spin the truth. Watch them not talk about the phony dossier by Hillary Clinton, which should have been first. This occupied almost a year of Trump's first year in presidency. All to find out it was phony. Why Hillary Clinton is not in prison for 10 years for doing something like this, it's only anyone's imagination. I don't know. Your thoughts, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Mike, we see such corruption in government today. You know, the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, sin is a reproach to any people. And we need a complete overhaul. And people, all believers and all conservatives, constitutionalists, which we should be as this great nation of America celebrates the 4th of July coming this Monday. Of course, we have our Declaration of Independence. We're not going to be dependent upon a global government. And so as a nation and as a people, we must maintain the Bill of Rights that we have, the Constitution, of course, and we've got to vote righteously. I've heard that 1 in 3 Christians don't vote. We've got to vote, my friends. You've got to all vote. Get registered right now and get ready to vote. And those with a D in front of their on their ticket, it's look at the economy. We've got inflated food prices. We got gas is a mess again. This is worse than the Jimmy Carter years. The interest rates are starting to rise. It's just a mess. And because they don't know how to run an economy, they destroy our military, they've destroyed our public school systems. It's time to grab hold of all these institutions of the United States, and we're going to have to break them down and rebuild them once again. And there's Nothing too hard for our God. I mean, you look at right now, with, as Trump was in office, he put in three Supreme Court justices. And look at all the great decisions they're making for the Constitution of the United States, for our life, for our liberty, and for our freedoms. This is phenomenal what's taking place. And it's driving the liberals and the leftists and the Democrats crazy. They're going nuts over this. But you know what? These justices are making righteous decisions for you and me, for all of us as Americans. This is what we need for our freedoms. And we today, they even made a decision against the EPA, which is to get rid of some of these ridiculous oversights of this carbon thing that's going on with corporations and companies and so forth, carbon producing and so on. Because you know what? As you just shared in the beginning of the dialogue we're having, Mike, we look to this phoniness about this global warming and the phoniness that we've got to become this one world government, all these things. This is all about socialist control of the world. And we know it's in the Bible. It's leading up to the Antichrist. But while we're here, we serve Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the righteous one. And we need to get rid of the corruption. We need to get rid of the lies. We need to get rid of the deceptions. And we need truth to come in to the American way and across the world. And this is our great fight in the last days. God has called us to fight the good fight of faith. He hasn't called us to run. He hasn't called us to quit. He hasn't called us to wait and just be pew potatoes. We're to be soul winners. We're to be disciples. We're to proclaim the word of God. And we're to vote righteously because, you know what? God will take care of us. We trust in him. And in God we trust. Amen. One nation Amen. Under God.
Amen.
Mike, go for it.
Yeah, no, I just think we're living in some exciting times. 88 Ask CSN is the number to call. We got some lines open if you want to be part of the program today. Let's go to Elsa on the phones we have in Michigan. Hi and welcome.
Hi.
Hello. How may we
help? Well, my son was going to a small church and it wasn't growing. I told him to get out. Well, the pastor that never went to seminary all of a sudden decided he knew when the date was that Christ was returning. So they all left. So he listens to this kid he was working with, and he moved to Chicago with him over this church. And he wanted me to take the class with him. And I said, you know what, Stephen? I said, you're taking a class to join this place, and that's a cult. I said, you went from the fire or frying pan to the fire. And I said, you know, you need to get out of there. And, you know, that's not growing either. But he'll say, like, you know, maybe a couple people join. And the pastor that never went to seminary says that God told him to teach the Bible the way he is. And I'm like, oh, no. So I've been praying for him to come home. And he'll call me up, and we'll have conversations, and he'll say, what's the iron rod in Revelation? I said, just what it says. I says, God means what he says, and he says what he means. And then he says, well, who is Jesus talking to in Revelation? I said, John. He said, well, who's John talking to? I said, Jesus. And then when I took this class, it was really strange. I just did it to see what it was about. They said everything comes from God and goes to the angels and then goes to something else and then John the Baptist. And I'm like, I never heard of any of that. Everything is from God. And he's a good kid, but he needs, I'm like, Lord, reveal to him what's wrong. Bring him home. And he said that, you know, since he sold his house in a couple days or less than a week, that, you know, it was from God. And I said, well, it could have been the other too, you know, Satan. And he's been there 3 years, and I'm just not happy.
Well, dear, the problem is when people get into bad doctrine, it's all over the place. That's one of the things. The rod of iron that you mentioned earlier is that's how God, Jesus himself, reigning from Jerusalem, Israel, will judge the world. It's not going to be the namby-pamby, oh, well, whatever goes like we find today in the governments around the world. The rod of iron is speaking of God's ability. Now, whenever you find a rod mentioned in the Bible, it's a symbol of authority. David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's ability to govern. The staff is that thing that had the crook on the end where, you know, you'd hook a sheep that's getting out of line, pull them back into line. God's authority and God's ability to correct me is what comforts me, David said. So that is an example of what that is. I don't know what your son or this guy said that is, but the point is that when you read the entirety of the Bible, you begin to understand these picture images of like what a rod is, or as an example, these different things in the Bible that we know is how God is going to judge the world someday. Darryl, your thoughts.
Yeah, and I would just, you know, golly, you've got to get him into some type of sound doctrine. Is he willing to listen to Christian radio? Is he willing to listen to, go to our websites and get some, is he willing to call one of us maybe and have a conversation? Because what happens is they're always just in cults, they're always taught what they believe, but they don't teach the rest of the Bible. And things have been pulled out of context. They've been twisted and now you have a cult. Whether it be in regards to the deity of Christ or regarding the Trinity or just a lot of bad teaching, such as people talking to angels or whatever, you know, and John the Baptist, whatever. And so it's important for him to and just keep drawing him back into getting him into good, sound doctrine, into sound teachings. And, you know, it takes time. But they get caught up as a group and they infiltrate one another's hearts, minds, and they just, that's all they know and they understand. They're around this pastor or whoever he is, all the time. And they just keep getting this feeding of, unsound doctrine that's, unbiblical. And try to encourage him to get to the Christian radio, to listen to Christian radio, and to hear some good, healthy, sound biblical teachings. And maybe he'll start to recognize then the truth, and the truth will set him free. So that's one of the best things we can encourage you to do, Elsa, and see what the Lord has for your son.
Stay in line, Elsa. I'll send you out a couple of books, couple of DVDs. And the book, Time to Grow, is just basic Christianity. That's what it sounds like he needs to start with right there. So there's a book I'll send you. And then God of Wonders is great, How God Made Everything. And if God made everything and has a purpose for it, God made you and has a purpose for you. So I'll send that to you, and Evolution Versus God, and a little book called 101 Last Days Prophecies. Elsa, stay online. We'll get that out to you, okay?
Mike, earlier when you were talking to me, were you talking about the hook in the jaw?
No, the hook in the jaw, we find that in Ezekiel chapter 38. Where the Bible says that God will draw Russia along with a group of Arab neighbors against Israel in the last days. I believe that's about ready to happen at any time. To take a spoil, it says. They want what Israel has. And they're coming to take a spoil. Now, there's a lot of things Israel has that are valuable. Not only is their agriculture fourth largest producer of fruit that's around, but we also know that they have the warm water seaports in the Mediterranean. There's a lot of valuable, they have all the mineral resources, and especially what is used in a lot of the batteries now that are going to be needed for all this conversion to electric, those minerals in the Dead Sea area, as well as this huge deposit of natural gas found off the shore of Haifa in Israel. I mean, there's a big prize to take. And being Russia is going broke, many people believe this is why they actually even invaded the Ukraine, was to take what they had. I believe Israel's next. And accompanied with the Arab neighbors and list them by name. Persia, of course, is Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan, interestingly enough, the old Persian Empire. And so, Darryl, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think what Elsa, you were referring to, what Mike said earlier in our conversation, he talked about the rod and the staff that David wrote about in Psalm 23. They comfort me. And that's where he used the term, the hook and the staff. And that's that shepherd's staff to, work with the sheep and to bring them in. So I think that might be the confusion that you have there. But we start off with that rod of iron that the Lord Jesus in the book of Revelation, in a 1,000-year reign of Christ, he'll be reigning for 1,000 years. When we talk about a rod of iron, in other words, there's going to be disciplines in the millennial kingdom of Christ for 1,000 years where he's not going to put up with all the shenanigans and the corruptions of the governments that we have today. And he'll rule with a rod of iron, meaning the iron is, it's not going to be, he's not going to bend. He's not going to be wishy-washy. He's not going to be compromising. He won't be corrupted. So that's the rod of iron. But the shepherd's staff is that which is used to guide the sheep and direct the sheep and so forth, which we are referred to as he's our great shepherd. So I think that might have been a little bit of your confusion, and that might give you a great understanding of what's going to be happening according to Ezekiel 38 and 39. So that was excellent. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Elsa, so I hope that helps.
Thank you so much, and God bless you, pastors, and I listen to you every day.
Well, Elsa, we're here for you. If you need us, call us and look for that. Stay in line. We'll get your address and get that sent out to you, and you can get that to you to your family, okay? God bless you, dear, and have a blessed, safe 4th of July weekend. Let's go to Star, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, pastors. I hope you guys are having a good evening. I just have a really quick question about Calvinism. Can you tell me the difference between Calvinism and, I know what Christianity is, but I was listening to Bobby, I don't know his last name, it starts with a B, I heard a couple of sermons of his, and they sounded pretty good, and then I heard him say he was a Calvinist. So can you tell me what that religion is about, perhaps?
Yeah, well, Calvinism is not Christianity. That's why it's called Calvinism. Otherwise, it would be called Christianity. It carries a different name because it's a different doctrine. It's not in the Bible. They believe that you're predestined from the foundations of the world to spend your eternity in heaven or hell, and there's really nothing you can do about it. This is so far from what the Word of God says that it is almost occultic, and that's really the truth. Just because God and the Bible talks about that we're predestined, but that's talking about from God's perspective. God does not learn. He's Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and last, Revelation chapter 22. Now, because he knows everything, God doesn't learn. But just because God knows the ultimate decisions every one of us living on this earth will make does not mean that God predestined us to either go to heaven or hell. Just because God knows our decisions doesn't stop any one of us from making the decisions and paying the consequences for those throughout eternity. So yes, the word predestination does show up in the Bible, but that's always from God's perspective. The Great Commission, I know Jesus isn't much of an authority in the church anymore, certainly not in Calvinism. Jesus said to go preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say, go preach the gospel to the predestinated ones. And in fact, in Calvinism, most of them don't even give altar calls. Here's why. Because if you're going to figure it out and go to heaven, you're already predestined. There's nothing you can do about it anyway. So we don't even have to give altar calls. And most Calvinistic, heavy Calvinistic churches don't even give altar calls. That's the truth. For God so loved the world. He didn't say, for God so loved the predestinated ones. It doesn't say, and whosoever, it doesn't say that. It's only the predestinated ones that believe in him. No, it doesn't say that. They have to change the Bible to fit kooky doctrine. That is why it's not Christianity. That's why it's Calvinism. And like any ism, Mormonism, all the other isms that are out there, it's not real Christianity. Thus, the name is different. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, when we look at Calvinism, what Mike just shared, it's important for us to realize, did Peter have Calvinism in him when he preached the first gospel message on the day of Pentecost? Did Paul the Apostle have Calvin in his life when he was preaching across the, the Middle East and then into Europe and so forth. No, they didn't. They had the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit told them to preach Christ crucified and resurrected and nobody else. As Paul the Apostle says, am I of Peter? Am I of, are you of Peter? Are you of Paul? Are you of anyone else? You know, Silas? No, you're of Jesus Christ. We preach Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. We're to win souls, to make disciples. We're to be preaching the gospel, the good news of Christ across the whole world. And God saves. He adds to the church daily, such as should be saved. He's going to save folks. And Calvinism is not a healthy doctrine. It makes people lazy when it comes to any kind of evangelism, if they do any of it at all, like Mike just shared. And we're required to go to battle, go to war in preaching the gospel of faith to the whole world. Mike?
Amen. So in a nutshell, that's kind of what the bottom line is. And there's nothing you can do to get saved. If you're not predestinated, you can't be saved, according to them. Nothing you can do about it. So when you really look at their doctrine, that's why it's an ism. Hope that helps, Star.
Thank you. It really does. Thank you so much. And I love your show. I've been listening to the last almost 4 years already.
Wow.
And keep doing what you guys are doing. God bless you both. Thank you so much.
God bless you too, Star. Again, remember, John 3:16 knocks the wheels off the bus on Calvinism. That's one of the most important verses to counteract this kooky doctrine. Number two, the Great Commission. Go preach the gospel to every creature, not just the predestinated ones. Star, stay in line. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, and we are coming up on a break. We don't want you to go away. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. And we're going to come back, have a whole lot more of To Every Man an Answer following these messages. We'll be right back right after this.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide, including over 60 in California alone. You can listen in great cities like Bakersfield, Sacramento, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, Yucca Valley, and many more stations throughout California and the nation. A full station list is available through csnradio.com. You're listening to CSN International, where God's word is heard.
Even when I'm lost, you take my hand.
Edifying the saints and evangelizing the world. Great Bible teaching. Equipping a worshiping church. This is CSN International.
Welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Darrell Skinner. I'm your host, Mike Kessler, and we're going to go right back to the phones. We have Patty on the line, Sacramento, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Okay, so I've had two different Mormons that I've been able to witness to, and what I'm running into is, and I know Satan and Lucifer aren't brothers, so I know some of their doctrine. But I guess I'm looking for a doctrine to give to them, because they don't believe that anyway. But what they'll call, they call themselves Christians. And one says, and when you belong to a Christ-based church. So the terminology that the Mormons use is so similar to what the Christians use. And so what can I use or say to a Mormon other than, you know, it's a different Jesus in the Bible. It's not the same one. Is there something more that I could use in my witnessing to a Mormon?
Oh, there's a lot more, dear. And I'll send you three little booklets when we're done here, which will really help you. But they have a completely different gospel, completely different Jesus than the Bible says. And Paul warns, if somebody else comes along preaching another Jesus, the one I preach to you, let him be accursed. They believe Satan and Jesus are brothers. This is a damnable heresy. You don't find it in the Book of Mormon. You don't find it in the Bible. Yet they go around teach this stuff. Now, again, I think this is really important. When they pray, like you say, well, let's pray right now. Well, Father, we come to you. You know who their father is that they're praying to? Adam, who fell in the garden. That's right. Because they believe they're going to be gods themselves someday. And Adam is the God in which Mormons pray to. It's incredible. The guy that fell in the garden in rebellion to the real, true, living God is the God that they serve. They believe that you will be married for time and eternity. When the Bible says, when they asked Jesus, a man had a wife, he died, his brother married her, and he died. And so it was for all seven brothers married this woman in heaven, whose wife will she be? Jesus said this, you err not knowing the scripture. There is neither marriage nor given in marriage, but as the angels are. Yet they teach in celestial marriage. It's not there. It's not in the Book of Mormon either. So all this crazy doctrine they come up with is not even in the Book of Mormon. Yet when they go to your door, they give you the Book of Mormon, which represents really nothing that they believe. Celestial marriage. You're going to become a god yourself someday. Not in the Book of Mormon. God was once a man just like you are. Not in the Book of Mormon. All this abnormal doctrine, and yet they want to be called Christians with a completely different Jesus than the Bible teaches. This is scary stuff. Now, I applaud them on their focus on the family and these different charitable acts that they do. But when it comes down to really what makes the difference of going into heaven or going to hell and paying for your sins, they believe by being a good temple Mormon, paying your 10%, being in good standing, being sealed in the temple, all these different things, this will guarantee you to go into the third heaven where you'll become a god yourself someday. But the Bible doesn't teach that there's three heavens. Paul said, I was caught up in the third heaven. I beheld God in his glory. But here's where context comes in with everything. Paul was addressing a Grecian Roman culture. They believed that there was the heavens where the birds flew, the atmosphere. There was the place where the celestial bodies, the sun, moon, stars, cosmos. The third heaven is where the gods dwelt. That's why Paul addresses it that way. But you never find anywhere else in Scripture where there's three levels of heaven, that you're going to be a god yourself someday. You're going to propagate your own planet by being celestial marriage and having spirit babies that will then come in and live in the humans or whatever they are on these different planets. This is all not in the Book of Mormon. It's not in the Bible. And yet this is the foundational book that they give you when they come door to door. I think they should really write a book, What We Really Believe, where Satan and Jesus are brothers, where you're going to be a god yourself someday. All the things that make them not a Christian cult, all the things that make them what they are. I think that'd be interesting. Your thoughts, Daryl?
There's a great video that I recommend that you watch, and maybe you can encourage them to watch it with you. I would suggest you watch it first, and then if they come by again, have them watch. It's called The Bible Versus the Book of Mormon, and it brings forth biblical truth from the scriptures, and then it unveils the fallacies that are found in the Book of Mormon, and it destroys the Book of Mormon and how fake and fraudulent it truly is. But it's called The Bible Versus the Book of Mormon. It's an excellent video. It's online. I think it's about a little over an hour long, and I know it'll bless your heart, and I think if you get them to sit with you for an hour, it'll really open their eyes, or just maybe your conversation encourage them to watch it themselves and discover truth. Ask them if they're into truth and if they would watch this video, and then we can have a conversation about it. And I think that would be another tool that you could use to minister to their hearts, to bring them out of the cult of Mormonism. It's important to realize Mormons also, they baptize for dead relatives in proxy. And this is a false teaching also of Mormonism, because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, is it appointed unto men once to die, then comes the judgment. You don't have any second chances. People can't be baptized for you in proxy and turn you into a Christian, some dead great-great-great-grandfather or something like that, then turn them into a Christian because you got baptized for that dead relative. And there's one reason why the Mormons have spent so much time studying their genealogies, trying to baptize for dead people. You can't do that. Once you live on this earth, you must come to a decision for Jesus Christ personally. Jesus said you must be born again to Nicodemus, the religious man. And he didn't waver at that. He also gave us the understanding of Luke's gospel with the rich man and Lazarus. And once the rich man died, who was corrupt and evil and sinful, rejected God and Christ, the hope of the Messiah, he was sent to a place called Hades, waiting for the final judgment to be cast into hell. And Abraham says to him, there's no second chances. Once you've come here, you cannot go back. You're done. And of course, Lazarus was being comforted because he had faith in God and faith in the Messiah to come. He's being comforted by Abraham. So this proxy baptism to save people, make them into Mormons, they're going to get them to a celestial heaven, is bogus. It's completely wrong. But I would encourage you to watch the video. It's an excellent video. It was done quite some time ago, but it's still an excellent video. The Bible Versus the Book of Mormon. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Hope that helps.
It helped. Thank you very much.
Stay in line. I'll get those books out to you. They're real simple. They're not hard to read. I hate wordy, big, lumbersome books. I like to the point things. You'll really like this. The first little book is called Ask Your Bishop. The second little book is Mormonism Christian? And the third one is, does the Book of Mormon support Mormonism? It doesn't. So I'll send you all three of those for calling in, Patty. I think they'll very much help you. And again, keep going and let your light shine, okay?
You betcha. You take care. Thank you.
You too, Patty.
God bless.
Let's go to Sandy, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Love your show. Longtime listener here. I do have a question, though. I know that the Bible in Revelation, it does state that God will wipe away all our tears. Well, I'm a crybaby, and if I don't see my parents there, how is that going to work? Or my siblings, or you know, any of my family members? How will we not cry? I don't understand that.
Well, the good news is Jesus wipes away every tear from our eye. That's what the Bible says. Now, I don't know what the tears are doing in heaven anyway. A lot of people have asked that question. And it may be over this very topic, or it could be that, God, this is all so real. I just wish I'd have done so much more for you. And it's tears of remorse, not tears of pain or anguish. Now, one of the things we have to remember, and I believe the greatest clue comes from the Book of Revelation, where all these cataclysmic judgments are falling on the earth on an unrepented world. And the angels keep saying, true and righteous are your judgments. And I believe that is equipped with the knowledge that we'll have when we're in heaven, when we see our relatives, our friends that didn't make it into heaven. I know it's going to be painful, but on the other hand, knowing much more about everything then than we do now, I believe we'll have the same reaction that the angels had. True and righteous are your judgments. In other words, they had it coming. They could have repented. They didn't. And maybe we'll get to see them blaspheming God. Maybe we'll get to see their total rejection of Christ. Maybe we'll get to see how many times that they had an opportunity to go to heaven and they turned it away and made fun of it. True and righteous are your judgments. That's what the angel said. And I believe with that equipment, that knowledge that we'll be equipped with, I believe that'll be our reaction to your thoughts.
You know, the interesting passage in Matthew 7:23, where Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, they existed, so we know that they existed in benotes to God, but I never knew you personally. And I believe that as we go to heaven, those that we had relationships with on earth, it's going to be, we never knew you, because they've rejected Christ. They've rejected the light. They've rejected the life. They've rejected the love of God. So they've gone into darkness, and that memory, that aspect of who they were once in our life on earth is now gone from us, because now we're caught up into heaven, which is the perfect place of love, light, and life. And I believe, as Jesus says, I never knew you, so will be with us. We won't know them either, and thus every tear is washed away. There's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. There's no more death in heaven. It's a place of absolute, like Paul says, I was caught up to the third heaven, and I heard things that are just totally, absolutely inexpressible. He says, I can't even describe how marvelous it is. And when you look at Revelation 4 and 5, you find the church in heaven there and worshiping God and praising God. And everything is dealing with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That remembrance of ugliness and sinfulness and the devil's work on earth and those who rejected Jesus Christ. The Bible says you're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. That's going to be eliminated from us, and they're going to be cast into outer darkness. And so I think that memory, that thought life, and that relationship is going to be done away with also as we've gone to heaven, and by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of Jesus Christ, we're rejoicing forever before the throne of God and worshiping him. Mike?
Amen. And so hope that answers it for you.
Thank you.
God bless you, Sandy. Stay on the line if you like, and we'll send you out some books, some DVDs. 8888 Ask CSN's number of call. If you want to be on the program today, let's go to Donna, California. Hi and welcome.
Hi, brothers. Thank you for taking my call. My question's in regards to Leviticus 19:28. I hear a lot of pastors these days softening their stance on getting tattoos. I don't have any tattoos, nor do I ever plan on getting one, but from what I read, it says we're not supposed to do that. So I wanted to get your take, and I'll listen to your answer off the air.
Well, Donna, thanks so much for the call. Daryl, your thoughts?
Well, you know, in the Old Testament, many of the markings that they would be receiving was in the worship of their gods, their false gods. And that was their adoration, their allegiance to those gods. Today, a lot of tattoos are just artwork. Now, there may be people out there putting on false gods. It's up to them. But as a born-again Christian, we're not going to do that. God looks at everything in our heart. You know, what is our heart about? Are we going to love him? There's two commandments that are given now. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So I wouldn't say, okay, by the way, never get a tattoo. Now, honestly, I'm not big on, I don't have any tattoos myself. I guess I grew up in a different generation and it wasn't a big deal. This generation, it is a big deal, and they do a lot of artwork on their bodies. And a lot of times people get before saved and then they regret it after they're saved, right? I know a guy in the Navy. He was 30 years Navy and he got some lewd tattoos when he was in the Navy. And he says, I got to get these things taken off, which was very painful. So because he became a Christian. So, yeah, we do reap what we sow. As long as you're not wanting to worship foreign gods or images or people or anything like that, and as long as you're not going to be in a manner of defaming God or putting on things that are immoral. That would all be wrong. I look at people's hearts and decide, you know, have they come to Christ? Do they love Jesus? And what's that all about? That's totally up to them. But go ahead, Mike. What do you say?
Well, I think that, again, I think the popularity of tattoos 35 years ago, only people that got tattoos were, you know, people in the counterculture, drunk sailors and alike. Now it seems that tattoos are being made so popular. They're in, you know, temporary ones are in boxes of breakfast cereal in the cereal aisles for kids. I believe this is all part of conditioning people for the ultimate tattoo, the 666 on the hand or on the forehead. The Bible says a mark, name, or a number. Now, again, when we realize that we're being conditioned, so what's the big deal if I have a mark on my hand or my forehead? I won't even have to have my credit cards anymore. I'll just flash my arm or, you know, an imprinted chip or something else. So I believe we're being conditioned for this. Again, 35, 40 years ago, the idea of forcing people to be tattooed was appalling, especially what was coming out from Germany, where Hitler tattooed on Jews these different marks, numbers, and things like this. It was appalling, but now popular again. And so I believe this is part of it. Now, if a person has a tattoo, we go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross, not because we have a tattoo or we don't have a tattoo. Paul says all things are lawful, but not all things are the best for us. And so I think we have to look at that. Now, some people say, well, I got tattoos so I can go out and witness to sailors or people in counterculture or anymore, just about anybody. Well, that's between them and God. And I don't want to judge them for that because we don't go to heaven because we have a tattoo or don't. The only one that'll keep you from going into heaven is the one on your hand or on your forehead instituted by the Antichrist. So really, when we look at this, again, not all things are the best for us. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient, as the Bible says. So what is best for you? I think you really have to pray about it. One thing about tattoos, they're very permanent. There is a trend right now in our society for those that have tattoos to get rid of them. They're very expensive to get rid of and extremely painful. I know my next door neighbor one time said, he said, I started getting my tattoo and he said, it hurt so bad I stopped. And so he has had an unfinished tattoo on his arm. It made me laugh because I thought about it. And every time I think about that, he says, man, that really hurt. Well, in the words that I've heard said so often, I haven't got time for the pain. Nope, there's better things I can be pained over than getting something I maybe down the road wish I didn't have. Hope that helps. Hope that answers it. And with that, we'll go to Sherry in Arkansas. Hi and welcome.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you. I'm glad you took my call. If you're in our lives now and we have a close relative that we've been estranged, you know, just different circumstances, when we get to heaven, if you know, we both go to heaven, are we going to have to reconcile there or will everything be okay?
You know, I don't know. And you know, it's really funny, Daryl, this tree in the midst of the river in heaven and the leaves were for the healing of the nations. I always have wondered if that isn't in some way to reconcile issues that weren't taken care of. Because, you know, you look at the Gentile prejudice that Jews have against Gentiles. I've just always wondered about that. Your thoughts?
You know, I really believe the Bible says we go to heaven, we're going to receive an incorruptible body. We won't be corruptible any longer. It's going to be an immortal body, not a mortal body. So the corruption of sin, the corruption of jealousy, the corruption of envy, the corruption of gossiping and slander and all lying and cheating. I mean, I go on and on, right, into fornication, adultery, drunkenness. It's not going to be existing in heaven. And the Bible says we'll have the mind of Christ. So Christ's mind is not corrupted. And if we have the mind of Christ towards one another, it's going to be the most beautiful place of love and peace and joy. Really, you could just look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. long suffering and patience and so forth, and self-control. So I think the things of our sin nature have now been done away because we have a glorified nature in Jesus Christ. This body of sin has been put off, as Paul says. It is this tent of which we groan. We want to get out of, and we'll be released from it. And now we're glorified in the Lord and having the mind of Christ. So I think it's going to be a magnificent transformation that takes place in the hearts and minds and lives of everybody as we find ourselves in heaven. Mike?
And as I said earlier, a previous caller, when we get to heaven, I think we're going to know a whole lot more about us, even our personal selves, as well as others, in that, as we could say, true and righteous are your judgments, as God is judging an unrepented world, we'll be able, I think, to understand. We're going to have the mind of Christ. And I think that's going to help a lot in the way we interact with people in heaven. The Bible says, all things pass away, behold, all things become new. Even in this life as a Christian, so in heaven, even much the more so, I believe, as we really, you know, serve the Lord in these different ways, I really believe that God will do that for us. And so I hope that helps, Sherry.
Oh, yeah, that was my thoughts, but I just wanted to, you know, get you guys' thoughts on it too, and I appreciate it.
And Sherry, one of the things I would always say too is that whatever you can reconcile, you know, the Bible says not to let the sun go down on your wrath, especially if you're married. It breeds contempt and remorse and anger and revenge. I think it's always a good idea that we can do that. You know, and I tell people, I've done a lot of memorial services, funerals, and I always tell people, I said, hey, you know, there's no guarantee that we won't be back in this room and you'll be in the box next week. And there's people maybe in that room that need to reconcile some things with their family and friends. And I don't think it's a bad thing to at least make an attempt. You know, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. You know, I just really think God honors that. And even if they reject your peace offering, hey, listen, God saw it and God will bless you. And so I think it's always a good thing to do. And so I hope that answers it for you.
Thank you.
God bless you. And Sherry, stay on the line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. And with that, we got a question here from Trish on Facebook. And it says, will kids be judged if they're forced to take the mark of the beast? Daryl, your thoughts.
I think God has what it's going to be a choice. The Bible refers to it as a choice for that mark of the beast, whether it be parents or children. And, so that'll be a choice. And if you don't take it, then it is going to be, the Bible says they're going to be killed for not taking the mark of the beast. So there's always auxiliary things that people can throw out there, but I have to stay within the scriptures of what it says. Those that take the mark of the beast are going to be judged. Those that don't take the mark of the beast are not going to be judged. So it doesn't matter who the age might be. It's in the control of what that parents and those families are making a decision to do.
And one of the things the Bible does say is that you're not going to be able to buy or sell without the mark, name, or number on your hand or the forehead. And unless your kids are buying Legos, I don't think that really will apply so much to them. They will probably have some age. In other words, anybody over 18 must have this mark to carry on commerce. Maybe not so much for children. It doesn't mention that for children. And I want to be careful. I don't want to add into God's word when it's not there. The Bible clearly says in Revelation 13, it's a mark, name, or a number. Without that, you will not be able to buy or sell. Like I say, five-year-old kids are not buying and selling. So I would say that probably there'll be a cutoff age or something along that lines. And furthermore, if you look farther up, just a couple more chapters, the Bible says whoever takes this mark, a grievous sore breaks out on them, and it doesn't heal. It's a oozing, yucky thing. So very much probably caused by that mark. But again, you have angels flying through the midst of heaven, telling people on the earth, never take the mark. Never take the mark. If you do, you've lost your soul forever.
Amen.
And with that, I hope that answered it for you. Thanks, Darryl, for being on.
Thank you, and God bless you, Mike.
Always
God
a blessing. Everyone. Always a blessing to be with you, and look forward to being back with you again. And for all of you, tomorrow, call. We'll put you on first thing. And so until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. Keep looking up, our redemption draws nigh.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.